If you're visiting with us, it's great to have you. We sometimes have some technical difficulty, but I'll just start with a clean slate here that it's usually not their fault. Either I don't switch this thing on or I forget it somewhere or what have you. But if you're visiting with us today, it's great to have you. For the members, great to have you too. I'm very excited about next week. I'm sure you can't see this far. But next week we're starting a series called How to Read the Bible for All That It's Worth. I think it's going to be a great time for us to just be able to get to know our Bibles better and how to study it better and how to be able to apply it better to our lives. But before we sort of get into the last lesson here, it's always exciting when someone gets baptized, when someone makes the decision to make Jesus Lord of their life. Why don't we just say a prayer? There's a lot happening here tonight. Why don't we just say a prayer and then we'll jump in. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to study the scriptures and to be able to just let you guide us. And I pray that's what will happen tonight, that you will guide our thoughts, that you'll help us to make some decisions that would really influence us and influence those around us, but that will be done through your Spirit. Father, please lead us. We pray in your Son's name. Amen. If you're visiting with us today, we are busy with a series called Crazy Love, and this is sort of the final leg in it. And over the last couple of weeks, we've looked at quite a number of challenging things. We've called it, entitled it Crazy Love, because in terms of what the Bible teaches as the standard of love, sometimes you can look at it and you can say, but geez, that is really crazy. In Matthew 5, Jesus says, you've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. He says, but now I tell you, love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you. And we hear those kind of scriptures and we think, boy, that is crazy. Am I even able to do it? We looked at things like patience, that love is patient, and that when you're patient, you have the ability to extend your fuse, if you may, so that when you are in challenging situations, in a traffic jam, or someone somehow wrongs you, that you would have the patience required, where you would be able to sort of breathe in and breathe out and still continue to respond to them in a loving way. We looked at things like separating someone's garbage from them, meaning that we all know that we are sinners and that you are able to separate the sin that someone does, put it here, move them over here and say, I'm going to love you. I'm not that excited about your sin. I'm not that excited about how you sinned against me, but I'm going to separate you from that sin and I'm going to continue to love you. As a matter of fact, I'm not only going to love you, we looked at being kind, being proactive and saying, I want to be a blessing in your life. I want to be agreeable. I want to be helpful. I want to be gentle in my communication with you. I want to even give you some gifts because I want to bless your life. Last week we looked at that love is not self-seeking and that you can either be a vacuum cleaner. I don't know if you guys can remember that. You can either be a vacuum cleaner sucking the life out of everybody, or you can sort of be a bucket of love where you pour love into other people. And as you pour into them and it flows into them, they themselves, their love bucket will overflow into others. And in that way, again, through crazy love, we are changing lives all around us. Now, I don't know if any of you in any given time through this series have wondered, how on earth do I do it? Did anyone think that way? Just a show of hands, was it just me sort of, okay, myself and Narit, okay. And one or two others. But you sort of look at those things, it makes absolute sense. You can see, boy, I need a love in such a way. It is clear what the Bible teaches. It is clear how I can see how my marriage would be better, my friendships would be better, my relationships with my colleagues would be better. But how do I do it? And is it even possible? Now, that's what we're going to talk about tonight, is it possible and how do we do it? Now, first, a little Bible quiz here. I want to see how clever you guys are. I'm going to put a scripture up on the screen and then someone needs to tell me where this passage is. There's a scripture that says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Philippians 4 verse 13. Next one. In all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Romans 8, we've got verse 35. Anyone want to? 38? What about 37? Have I got 37? Romans 8, 37. How about this one? His divine power has given us everything that we need for life and for godliness. Now it's the first. Is it first or the second? Is it? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. How about this one? Have you heard this one before? Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Isaiah 40 verse 31. For nothing is impossible with God. This angel said this to Mary, so move out of Hebrews. Luke 1:37. All things are possible with God. Very similar, but yet different. Okay, we need to sharpen up in our Bible study here. Mark 10:27. I mean, we hear these scriptures and they sound phenomenal. I can do anything through Him who gives me strength. In all things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. His divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. I think most of us know the one in Isaiah 40 that says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I love that moment where Mary says, geez, how will this be? How will I have this child without having slept with Joseph? And he says, listen, you know, all things, for nothing is impossible with God. It can happen. And in Mark 10, how do the rich enter the kingdom of heaven? It's going to be very hard for them. And the apostles ask, how can it be done? And he said, listen, you know, with man, this is not possible, but all things are possible with God. All these scriptures say the same thing. With God, we can overcome. With God, we can succeed. With God, we can become patient. With God, I can become selfless. With God, I can love unconditionally. And yet I find myself many a time that although I read my Bible in the morning, I still find myself wanting in a moment of truth. And then I don't know what happened with God in that moment. Or I find myself, but I do come to church, and yet in that moment of crisis, when the rubber meets the road, and a surprising, challenging situation comes up, I still miss the mark. And then I wonder, but what about I can do anything through Him who gives me strength? Where is the strength now, Lord? Now that's what we want to figure out tonight. Is how do we do this with God? And all you need to do is remember three things tonight. If you can remember these three things, and they're easy to remember, then your life can change and you can love in a crazy way. The first thing that you need to remember is a fish. If you can remember a fish, you're on the right track. The second thing that you need to remember is a spinning bike. If you can remember this spinning bike lent to us by Virgin Active. If you can remember this, you're on an even better track. And if you can remember Superman, then you might just be able to love in a crazy way. Take a look with me in John chapter 15. We're going to see if we can learn how to do this. John chapter 15. We're going to read there from verse 4. This is sort of one of those broken record passages. What I mean is that you sound like a broken record repeating this thing again and again, but yet it is one of those unavoidable eternal truths that can change our lives forever if we just hold to it. In John chapter 15, verse 4, Jesus is speaking and He says, remain in Me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in Me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in Me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from Me, you can do nothing. I'm going to read it again just to make sure. This is a very important point. Just to make sure that we connect with it. Remain in Me, verse 4, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in Me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in Me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from Me, you can do nothing. Jesus says, he calls us, he says, remain in me and I will remain in you. Remain in me and you will bear much fruit. Remain in me, in other words, and you will be able to do things that you are not normally capable of doing by yourself. So remain in me and you will be able to develop a long fuse. Remain in me and you will be able to be a blessing. Remain in me and you will be able to be selfless. Remain in me and you will be able to love in an unconditional way. Remain in me and these things can come true in your life. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you will find yourself falling short. Apart from me, you won't make it. Apart from me, you will be disappointed. So the question then is, what does it mean, since it sounds very important, to remain in him? Now other translations, there are various English translations of the Bible, talks about be in me, abide in me, live in me, make your home in me, and you will bear much fruit. But we can again ask ourselves the question, but what does that mean? What does it mean to be in him? What does it mean to abide in him, to live in him, to make our home in him? And that is where the fish comes in. We have not named these fish yet. We didn't want to grow too attached to them. I'm going to try and catch one of these guys now. The reason why there are two is if the first doesn't work. Oh, I almost got him. There we go. I tried this earlier on. This is quite a slippery little guy. Okay. Whoa, there he goes. Let me try and get him again. Okay. Can you guys see him? I'm going to hold on tightly here. Can you see his little mouth? Can you see his little mouth there? What does he want? So there he is. Happy? Unhappy. Happy? Unhappy. Now, there's a couple of bubbles. I hope he makes it. My daughter, I told her I was going to do this. She actually begged me to not go this route. But I thought it will explain something. Now, do you think the fish is happy like this? Who wants me to keep the fish like this? Do you think he's happy to just touch base with the water like this? Shall we do the other one? The fish understands what it means to remain in the bucket. He understands what it means to abide in the bucket, to be in the bucket, to live in the bucket. I think our little fishy wants to make his home in the bucket. Because the fish bowl, rather than bucket, the fish bowl for him equals life. The fish bowl for him equals absolute survival. I don't think they're happy with touching base with the water every now and then. Because can you imagine, we can try it again if you really want to, but can you imagine that I put him in and out of the bucket like that for 10 hours? I think the poor soul would be exhausted. Because it's just too much. He needs the water to live. Remaining in me means the same thing. Jesus is saying, remain in me. You are the fish. I am the bowl of water. You need to remain in me if you want to bear fruit. I think the mistake that we make is that we leave Jesus in the Bible in the mornings. We leave him in these wonderful passages. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Now let me go on with my day. And by the time I'm at the front door, I've already forgotten about Jesus and forgotten about how he can completely transform my life. We leave him in prayer. We leave him in church. We come to church and we think, this is such an exciting moment. I love this. Crazy love. I want to be this way. But then we leave Jesus right here and we continue. And we even, I'm sure this must have happened to one of us at least, could have happened to me except my wife and I drive in separate cars. You even fight in the car on the way back home. Because you were not patient, or you were not kind, or you were not understanding, or you didn't love unconditionally. Because we leave Jesus right here. We need to remain in him if we want to be able to love in a crazy way. We need to make sure that during our days that we remain in his presence. That life comes at you and work comes at you and responsibilities come at you, but that we are continually aware. I used to pray, God be with me in different situations. I had to change that prayer a couple of months ago to God help me sense your presence because you are with me. Help me hear your promptings. Help me hear you say, Vanner, be gracious right now. Help me hear you say, Vanner, this is going to require an extra amount of patience from your side. Help me hear you say, Vanner, unconditional love, my friend. Unconditional love is what this moment requires of you, is to love in an unconditional way. And the more we remain in him, the more we become like him. I've seen this with my kids. It's amazing that the more time they spend with each other, which is pretty much a lot because they live together, the more they become like each other. I don't know if you've seen this. And I know with my kids, it's not a genetic thing. They are different. But the more time they spend with each other, they start to have the same facial expressions, the same attitude. They walk and talk the same way because they spend time with each other. How many of you guys have now finally seen the movie Avatar? What a cool movie. I mean, the storyline is okay, but the movie, the effect of it all is just amazing. But obviously how this works, and if you didn't see Avatar, might be difficult to catch on. But what that dude does is he sort of lies in this electronic bed or something that then electronically, or I don't exactly know how it does, connects him to what's called an avatar, which is sort of a wildlife body, if you may. And whatever he thinks, this thing thinks, and whatever he does, so he can control this thing. So this thing walks. And then he mixes with the avatar people. But the more time he spends with the avatar people, what happens? The more he loves the way of the avatar. He falls in love with one of the avatar. As a matter of fact, now I won't tell the end, so in case you still want to see the movie, but as a matter of fact, what happens is he doesn't want to be him anymore. He wants to be the avatar. He wants to be with those people because he has spent so much time with the people. He remained with the avatars. Jesus is saying, remain in me and I will rub off on you. Remain in me and you will be able to become as patient as I am patient. Remain in me and you will be able to be a blessing. Remain in me and you will have the love required to love someone unconditionally. Remain in me and you will be able to be gracious. But then you have to remain in me the same way with the same desire as the fish has a desire to be in that water. Remain in him. Now one of the things about last week, we had that bucket, if you weren't here, we had a bucket with water as an illustration of pouring love into someone, and then as you pour into that bucket, it overflows into others. But the only way that you can pour love into others is if your bucket overflows. And there's only one way that your bucket can overflow, and that is if you remain in him. So first of all, it's the fish. Secondly, take a look in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. The bike. Who of us have been on one of these babies? Wow, look at that. I had quite a number of people. Now, I'm going to try and get on it. I've been on one before. I don't exactly have my gym outfit on, so bear with me as I get onto this. But about 5 years ago, I think it was, more or less, my wife, I'm not sure how she did it, can't remember, managed to get me onto one of these things. And the first time that I went on this thing, can you hear it? There were a couple of things that I had to get used to. One was I wasn't used to this at all. And what would happen is now you've got the, can we have some music here for just the feel? Okay. So you're on this thing. There we go. And you spin. And the faster you go, now you've got a psychotic instructor in front of you there. There's one guy at Virgin Active here. We call him the Nazi. Now this Nazi just says go faster and faster. Now what I didn't know is that if you take your feet out, the thing continues to go. It doesn't stop. And the first time my feet were stuck in it. And literally it was, you're all over the bike. The second thing that I had to learn was you're supposed to stand like this and say, with your back upright. You know, I mean, I've one day even thought of being an instructor. And I would be like this just to get my legs off of it. And the guy says, no, to the back. And then I'm back there again. And he says, go back in the back. Then they've got this knob here. They can take the music off if they won't mind. They've got this knob here that's called resistance. And the more you turn this thing, the harder it is to pedal. Can you hear it's pedaling slower? Now this guy says, a turn. Every time he says, take a turn, take a turn, take a turn. Now I thought the dude meant a 360 turn. So now later on it's, and where's the pedal? I'm like this. Oh, let me just go down a bit. This is I'm in the class, people are watching, I can still not turn it. Okay, so I'm like this. I'm pushing it. I'm pulling it. I mean, it is sweating. Around me looks like a swimming pool. I almost died that day. I went home. It was a morning class. Let me just sit down here for a moment. I went home, and I think I passed out. I was nauseous. I was out for 4 or 5 hours. I wish I should have put water here. Why? I've never trained. I didn't know how the thing works. I mean, what they mean with one turn is they mean just turn the thing like that. I thought this thing doesn't move anymore. I went to the instructor and said, dude, it's impossible. There's no way you can do so well if you're in the same resistance as me. I said, no, it's small turns. Training. Figuring it out. Do you know how many times I've made that mistake? Trying to do things without training for it. Last year, I decided in my wisdom, now I've sort of got a history with some of these errors. You can ask my wife about it. But last year, in my wisdom, I decided I want to run a half marathon and I want to run it soon. And so although I didn't run at all, I started running while we were on holiday. I said, I'm not going to become a runner. And 2 weeks later, I was running 20Ks. And feeling the energy. Having great times in the morning, early in the morning, going for 20K runs. Takes me about fairly slow, but about 2 hours, just over 2 hours. And man, I'm just feeling this is great. I'm a runner. And then suddenly my legs started packing up. And my shins started packing up. And it packed up so much that I couldn't walk. It cost me 1,200 rand in physio bills to fix it. As I sat there with the physio and she pushed those needles into my legs, I thought, this is really stupid. And she said, what you need to do to fix yourself here is you need to slow down the pace of your training. And what you can do tomorrow, and she wrote out a training program, is you can run for a minute, walk for a minute. Run for a minute, walk for a minute, run for a minute, walk for a minute, and you're done. That's 4 minutes. I said, you've got to be kidding me. She says, that's the price that you pay. That's the way that you train. You need to start slow. You cannot just speed into it. You cannot just conquer the hills and the mountains in one fell sweep. You've got to do it slowly. So this year, I've started running again. The first time, I did 10 minutes. Second time, I did 11 minutes. Then 12 minutes. And all honesty, I said to myself, can it, man? I'm just going to go and do 10Ks. And I actually resisted it and said, you know what, Vanna, it's not going to work. You've got to do the training. And I've actually been doing 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute. I'm now in 22 minutes. Training. Slowly, but surely. Take a look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to read there from verse 25. Everyone who competes, are you guys there? Everyone who competes into the games, in the games, goes into strict training. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. Have you got any idea how much athletes train? Amount of time that they spend. A couple of years ago, I wanted to do a mountain bike race called the Cape Epic, and it's a 7 or 8 day race. It's 700, 800, 900 kilometers. And I looked at the amount of time required, and they said, if you want to finish, in other words, just make it, then you need to be training at least 20 hours a week. And at that stage, I think we had one, daughter. The other one was on its way coming, sort of. And I just thought, I can't do that. How can I do 20 hours a week? I mean, that's psychotic. That is like 6 hours on a Sunday, four on a Saturday, and then 2 hours the rest of the week, a day, and then one day's rest. Then they said, if you want to do well, the guy that came 10th, he trains 45 hours a week. That's a job. I mean, most of us work 40-hour weeks. 45 hours, that's crazy. The comrades. Okay, if you feel like running the comrades this year, you may be a little bit behind in your training. But if you caught on in January, some tissues, thank you. If you caught on in January, then you would have to, if you want to be ready for the comrades, you would have to run 316 kilometers in January, 270 kilometers in February, 350 kilometers in March, 310 kilometers in April, and then close off with 50 kilometers in May. So you would have to train 1,300 kilometers, okay, in 4 months' time to be able to run the comrades. Why? Because these guys know that it requires a huge amount of training. The Bible continues and says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. Now, we had a crown here. I don't know what happened to my crown. My crown disappeared. Someone's got some water for me and maybe a crown. Let me quickly disappear here. There we go. Sorry for that disappearance there. They had a crown made of what was called laurel leaves. Now, these are not laurel leaves. We couldn't find laurel leaves. But basically, you would run and you would compete in the Olympics and you would put in that amount of hours and that amount of effort. Why? So that you could stand there on the podium with this thing on your head. That was the goal. You're a winner. This is a crown that will not last because I didn't really research this, but I assume that the laurel leaves don't last forever and don't last too long. And it continues in the passage then and says, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. We do what? We need to train to get a crown that will last forever. People put in ludicrous amounts of time. They put in 45 hours a week for 4 months to cycle in the Cape Epic to get a crown or a medal that will not last forever. It says, but we do it. We need to have that same tenacity in training. And I'm not saying do 40 hours. Like I said, pace yourself to get a crown that will last forever. To be able to be more like Jesus. To be able to love in a crazy way. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, it will come up on the side screens. It says, train yourself to be godly. Train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value. Physical training is great. You feel better. I'll prayerfully feel a little better later tonight after this. But godliness is value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. If you want to love in a crazy way, you have to train for it. And I think that is where we make the mistake. We go into tough situations. We go into the traffic jam. We go to our boss that we know is a little bit unstable sometimes. We go home to a spouse that we know has had a long day. Or you know your spouse is coming back that has a long day and you have not trained for that moment. you somehow miraculously think what I do is as I get into the heat of the moment, I'm going to rip open my shirt. I'm going to be with my buddy Superman. And although I've not trained for this traffic jam, although I've not trained for this conflict, somehow I'm going to be able to do it. Somehow I'm going to be able to be that patient. Somehow I'm going to be able to be that kind. Somehow I'm just going to say the right thing with the right spirit, the right heart, the right mind without any training. And then we fail because we're not Superman. And we feel guilty. And we feel let down. And we feel disappointed. And we wonder, why did I once again miss the mark? But yet you will not feel that if you tried running the comrades without training. If you try to run the comrades without training, I don't think if you pack up 10 Ks into it, you're going to say, I wonder how this happened. You're going to know exactly why it happened. It happened because you didn't train. We need to train, guys. We need to train to love. We need to train to love in a crazy way. We need to train to be patient with our children, with our friends, our spouses, colleagues. We need to train to be kind and be a blessing. We need to train to deny ourselves. I want to live for myself. I don't know about you. I want to. I want what's best for me. That's what my nature wants to do. It's not what God wants me to do. So I need to train to deny myself, to be different. How do we train? Well, some basic things, some basic pointers. One of the things that all top athletes have in common is they all have a, you want to guess, coach. Tiger Woods has a coach. Bruce Fordyce had a coach. People have a coach saying to them, this is the way you shouldn't do it. This is how you're going. We need a coach, a mentor. We all need someone to be able to speak into our lives that we can meet with on a regular basis. That is if you want to love in a crazy way, if you want to train to be that way. That is able to speak into your life and saying, here's what I've seen, here's where you do extremely well. Here is sometimes where you miss the mark. Someone that is able to keep you accountable and say, how did it go with your kids this week? Were you patient with them? Did you love your wife? Did you have that romantic evening that you said or planned that you were going to do? Just a coach to speak into your life, to help you to make the changes that you want to make. We can train by studying the subject matter. I say, man, I lack patience. Let me study it in the scriptures. Let me see what the Bible teaches on this. Let me put those scriptures in mind so that when the moment of truth comes, that it's right there for me. We can train by praying for it. And this is something that I've often neglected, but the times that I've done it has helped me tremendously. Is when you know what your day is going to look like, you know you're running late, to pray, God, I'm going to be stuck in traffic. Help me to handle it well. Help me to be prepared for it. God, I know that at work things are sort of falling apart, and I know my temptations is going to be this. Please help me. God, I know I'm going to have the interaction with this client or with that person. I know it's going to be hard. God, I know that grandma's coming over and she's going to want to chip in with the kids. I know this is going to happen. Please lead me into it. Father, I know also today something unexpected is going to happen. Help me to see it coming. When it's there that I know, Vanna, this is your moment. This is the moment where you're going to have to love in a crazy way. And fourthly is we need some time in the field. We need to go and try it out. You know, often when challenges come our way relationally, I sometimes say, yes, did I really need it? And you know what I do? And I'm in the process of learning that every time that a challenge comes on my path relationally, a relational conflict, something that didn't work out the way that I wanted it, that it's actually an opportunity for me to train. I need to toughen up my crazy love muscle. The final way of training is reflection. You know, you run a race and you look back and you say, how did I do? I did it 21 Ks. I did it in 2 hours. What was my goal? 150. What did I do wrong? What did I do well? How can I do better at this? How can I grow in this so that I would be a better owner? It's the same with going back and not losing those opportunities and those times of, listen, okay, well, I blew it there. Even today, I had a situation where I blew it. But to be able to look back and say, as I reflect on this, how could I have handled it differently? How could I have sort of looked ahead and see it coming? How could I have been more patient? How could I have been more calm? How could I have been more calculated and kept my emotions more under control? But reflect. Try. It's the bike. You need to be the fish. Get on the bike. And only then can you be Superman. Only then can you live and love in a crazy way. So today, if I can ask you, remember these three things. Remember the fish, remember the bike, and remember Superman. And then prayerfully we too can love in a crazy way. God bless. Amen.